cares. I know that you have, 'cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and
hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Barr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this planet a far better and much happier place. And I know with everyone's help, we'll do it. Out of This World Radio is the fastest growing spiritual, psychic, and UFO radio program in the world, with listeners in over 60 countries, and I guarantee today's show will be totally, really out of this world. During the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Seattle time, we will be having a very special program with Gordon Ashner Davidson. He was on a week ago, but he had so much to say that I wanted him to come on today. We'll be discussing some very special topics, including the Galactic Alliance's perspective of the U.S. military and the U.S. Navy in particular, with the discussion of the Navy's plans to create what they call an electronic warfare range in the beautiful and pristine Olympic Peninsula in Washington State. Their plans to fly extremely new loud jets, which cause severe health problems with their 150-decibel engines. That's right, 150 decibels, and at that frequency, eardrums can explode. Their plans to exterminate up to 5 million dolphins and whales in the Pacific Ocean. And if time, the continual dumping of extremely toxic chemical trails in eastern Washington. Joining him on the show at the bottom of the hour will be David Spring and Ken Pickard of Citizens to Protect Eby's Landing, as well as Zach Smith, the lead attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council, who's been working very hard in federal court in Hawaii to protect the beautiful and wonderful dolphins and whales on this planet. During the second hour, I had planned to interview a famous Hawaiian spiritualist named Marie Rose Pounley, But she canceled out at the last minute, but we have a wonderful guest named Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Dr. Miller is a friend of Dr. Jerry Pollack at the University of Washington and has done some incredible research. He's one of the world's most famous scientists and physicists as well, and I know that you'll find his interview fascinating. During the second hour as well, I'll be doing a very special prayer for the children of Fukushima and the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo. Although it's been 4 years now since the nuclear accident at Fukushima, there's nearly 300,000 people still homeless in the area, and many of the kids are having thyroid problems and getting cancer from the radiation from the reactors. They need help, and I know our prayers will help, so I'd like to devote part of the second hour to that. Before we start, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including the wonderful Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma. They're located at 3802 South Cedar Street in Tacoma, just down the street from the Tacoma Mall on 38th. I have to tell you, I've been at the Crystal Voyage myself. They have a wonderful bookstore, and one of the things I like about them is the spiritual energy, because as soon as you walk in, you immediately feel uplifted. There's a waterfall on the right side. They have several large statues of Buddha there, and their selection of crystals and spiritual books is absolutely superb. So if you're in the area, please stop by. They're just off the freeway if you're driving through Tacoma. I've been at their store many times, and I urge you to visit them. Their phone number, by the way, is 253-272-4367, and they're located at the corner of South 38th and South Cedar, which is just off of exit 132A. A few things I wanted to tell you coming up. Tomorrow and on Sunday, I will be at a psychic fair in beautiful Ocean Shores, Washington, giving readings. So if you'd like a reading and like to see the ocean, please come out. At 8 p.m. tomorrow night, Seattle time, I will be giving a very special prayer on the shores of the ocean, Pacific Ocean there at Ocean Shores, sending love and light and good wishes to the children of Fukushima and the Moto Peace Project, which of course is headed by Michiko Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo. She does wonderful work. The entire office does wonderful work. And one of the things that they do is that they send water, what they call angel water, to these kids at Fukushima. Angel water actually prevents cancer. And the water was discovered by a Russian scientist named Dr. Smirnov after Chernobyl back in the late 80s. And when these kids drink this water, they don't get cancer. So one of the wonderful things that their office does is to provide this water for free to these children, and I can't think of a better place to support. Their website, if you'd like more information or to support them, is www.emotopeaceproject.net. They are a nonprofit, and they do a lot of good work. Then I just want to tell you briefly that we've got some other events coming up, including from August 19th to the 23rd, I'll be at a UFO conference at Mount Shasta. For more information, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on events. Also, too, I'll be leading on September 11th through the 13th a visit to James Gillian's UFO Ranch in Trout Lake, Washington. I'll give readings there, also give presentation on life on other planets, and I guarantee that you should be able to see UFOs flying around from Mr. Gillian's ranch. They've been there every time I've been there, and they seem to like the place. So if you're in the area, please stop by. For those in Japan, I will be giving a series of presentations and seminars on the Galactic Alliance and how to contact these wonderful benevolent space beings in Tokyo, Nagoya, and Osaka, Japan from November 10th to the 14th with the wonderful help of Greg Sullivan of JSETI. For more information, please see my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, and the details are not up yet, but they will as soon as they become available. I also give psychic readings, and for those interested, they're welcome to contact me. My email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. My accuracy rate for giving readings is between 90 and 100%. Before we begin, I'd like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including Brady's Oysters in Westport, Washington, the wonderful Tokeland Hotel in Tokeland, Washington, Orion Tech Computers in Bend, Oregon, and the wonderful and fabulous New Renaissance Bookstore in Portland, Oregon. We're supported by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage. Just click on it. Everything helps. I'd also like to thank the many wonderful sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol's designing the website and providing great support, my dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at the Walla Walla College, who helped me start the program, and my dear friend Michiko Hayashi and the wonderful Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who have been supporting the show, my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful sound engineer Eric Ryder, my station manager Eric Crema, whose without support this program would not have been possible. You can always listen to the show online at www.1150kknw.com or after the show at www.outofthisworld1150.com and clicking on our guests. Now I'd love to go to Gordon. Gordon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, wonderful, Gordon. Thank you so much for coming on today.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Well, for those who missed last week's program, could you give my many listeners a little bit about your background?
Well, I have been very involved in many social change organizations, helped found the Social Investment Forum, which is the Social Investing Professional Association. I founded and ran an institute in Washington, D.C. called the Center for Visionary Leadership for 10 years, and we started a spiritual ecological center and community on the land called Sirius in Massachusetts. And I have been very engaged in psychological, deep inner psychological and spiritual work, helping people with their growth and evolutionary process for a very, very long time. I've been a meditator for about 40 years. And during that time, I have made many contacts with all kinds of beings, but especially with the spiritual master who's deeply involved in this transfiguration, transformation of our planet, which we are in the middle of, and have been able to receive a tremendous amount of information about what is actually happening today, why the planet is the way it is, the history of it, and where we are going, and the plan for the full unfoldment of our world into a beautiful, lighted civilization where everyone will be expressing their creativity and their joy and the survival fear that has governed humanity for so long will be banished from this earth.
Well, you know, on that note, there has been quite a bit of discussion up here in Washington State about the U.S. Navy's plans to turn the entire Olympic Peninsula, which is a beautiful, pristine area, mm-hmm. Into what they call an electronic warfare range. I have had reports of the electromagnetic pulses from their jets can actually, and I don't want to offend anyone out there, but they can actually damage one's eyesight and cause the eyeballs to rupture. But yet the Navy wants to do it, and they're also flying around new jets around Puget Sound in the Whidbey Island area and Olympic Peninsula that produce up to 150 decibels every flight. And when you're subjected to that much sound, at 90 decibels you lose hearing, start to lose hearing. At 150 decibels, your eardrums can actually rupture. And their plans call for flying jets from 6 a.m. to 12 midnight, 7 days a week. And the people are understandably concerned. So they'll be coming on. I want to support the citizens who have been questioning these plans. The Navy also is in the process now of, they've admitted this, of exterminating up to 5 million whales and dolphins. That's right, up to 5 million whales and dolphins. And frankly, I don't remember ever being asked as a U.S. citizen whether our Navy should go out and kill all these dolphins and whales. Do you? Do you, Gordon? I don't remember ever asking.
No, of course not. You never hear a word about it.
Not a thing. And the major media doesn't cover it?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what's interesting is they even admitted such a thing. That's really... When did they make this admission?
I think it was last year or two. That's when the Natural Resources Defense Council actually sued them in court in Hawaii to try to stop them from doing it. And they had a recent success recently where there's a federal judge in Hawaii who found that they had violated the Marine Protection Mammals Act by pursuing this program. But I can't think... I mean, the last time I checked, whales and dolphins are beautiful, docile creatures here to uplift the planet and increase its vibration and make this planet a better place. Why on earth, Gordon, do you think that our military would want to kill off all these whales and dolphins?
Well, in order to understand all of what you're talking about, I think it's really important to put this in the right context.
Okay.
That really what we've had, as you well know, and many of your listeners probably also, that we have had a control system on this planet for a very, very long time, whose primary and only goal is to maximize their control, create as much fear, survival, crisis, struggle, and anxiety, and which is a way to maintain their control over the world. And that, and these, this well-organized, what we can call cabal, for is the popular term, or dark forces, have been doing this for a very long period of time. And they have had a very strong control over the military, along with the financial system, the media, and other major institutions in our society. This is not, I mean, I think anyone who's looking and paying attention realizes that this is true. That control has been, and is up until recently, been exercised purely with the goal of terrorizing the population, keeping everyone on the defensive, stimulating separation, and a sense of helplessness and inability to control our destiny. That's been the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. So that has been the whole reality for a very long time.
Well,
what has happened, as I outlined in our previous show, maybe I'll just mention it,
right,
that because of 9/11. Which was a cabal-created operation to maximize fear, to create the conditions under which they could pass the Patriot Act, invade the Middle East, and their goal was to really maximize and totally lock down their control of the whole planet.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was they did do some of that, and they did pass the Patriot Act, but it also created a response from the solar level, the solar system itself, and the solar council, which is a real council, that because the Earth is a chakra in the body of the solar system, the condition which was emerging, which was total servitude about to be implemented for humanity, there was a decision made at the solar systemic level that these forces will no longer be allowed to remain on this planet. And the leadership of that whole group, who were from outside Earth, were starting in 1992 and carrying forward for that whole period until recently, were removed from this planet completely, all of them. And they are no longer present. There is no longer any negative extraterrestrial being influence on this planet. However, there are still a certain number of human beings who have cooperated with them, worked with them, and gained a lot of benefits from doing so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the military was certainly under the same kind of controls.
Mm-hmm.
There was a tremendous amount of control over our policies and what the military was doing. And there has been an ongoing struggle within the military officer corps and within the entire system over who is going to rule and make the decisions about what the military operations are going to be. And there was one of the techniques or one of the strategies of the cabal has been to threaten the higher level spiritual guides and protectors of our planet, that if the galactics ever came into our planetary sphere and started to actively interact, they would unleash nuclear weapons upon humanity.
Wow.
And that was the threat that was present.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was there's been a gradual process as the Light Alliance, which is an alliance of the galactic civilizations, the spiritual masters, and many of the leaders and lighted people on the Earth together have been working to transform the whole control system in the military. And anyone who's familiar with the military world will tell you that over the last 3 years, there has been an increasing amount of turnover in the officer corps of the military, which is at a level that's way, way beyond the norm. And what that has been is a part of weeding out those people in the military who are supporting the dark purposes of the cabal and replacing them with people who understand the need for what the Light Alliance represents, which is the true protection of our country and our world, and really stopping these activities of the cabal. That one of the real confirmations that this is actually has happened is that the two generals and who were in the top naval admiral, the Air Force General Michael Carey and the U.S. Naval Admiral Tim Giardina, who were the ones that had the top nuclear weapons control in both the Navy and the Air Force. In other words, these are the people who were in charge of the nuclear weapon system.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been maintaining this threat for all this time, or at least they were the ones involved while this threat was being presented, so clearly they had something to do with it. I don't know exactly.
Mm-hmm.
During the week of October 7th in 2013, both the Air Force General Carey and the Naval Admiral Giardina were both removed from their posts.
Fantastic.
Within a week.
Fantastic.
And new people were brought in.
Mm-hmm.
This was to me, and this was reported in the New York Times. This is not some secret thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, to me, a very powerful indicator that, in fact, there has been a huge shift within the military about what is, who is going to really run it and who's going to be the one to decide what the policies and the activities are going to be. Now, what I am told from my inner sources is at this stage, the military is now completely aligned with the Light Alliance.
Oh, isn't that wonderful news?
It is. But now we have to understand the situation on Whidbey Island in
mm-hmm.
relation to this.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal that was originally created, which was to, as you're talking about, the extreme, the electronic firing range, the extreme noise, and was deliberately a plan that was instigated by the cabal to mm-hmm. harm the people there. Because that whole region of the country is a focal point of lighted consciousness.
Interesting.
And the goal was to really disturb that and break it up and mess up the people there, because it is such a powerful light force focal point, that whole region, right? As we well know.
Well,
so
I have to tell you real quick, just as a footnote to that, Gordon, thank you so much for your wonderful perspective. That there's a city called Port Townsend in
mm-hmm.
Not far from Seattle. It was going to be the Seattle of the Northwest, but the railroad chose Seattle's. But Port Townsend is a lovely community of artists and writers.
I know that.
And the Navy had been flying their jets over, and when the city council and the mayor of Port Townsend wrote the Navy a letter asking them to stop doing that, you know what the Navy's response was? They flew over even more times to terrorize the people with noise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's now been stopped, but I thought of that. You know, I mean, I want to.
Yeah, exactly.
And
because at that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say for the record You know, I think there's a lot of good people in the military. My dad was honorably served mm-hmm. in World War II, the Korean War, and retired as an officer with high rankings back in the mm-hmm. 60s. And I have every respect for the hardworking men and women in our military to protect our country. Mm-hmm. That's not the issue. The issue are these plans which go completely against the American people.
Yeah. Yes, and when you look at those plans and you hear what they are, mm-hmm. to any intelligent person, it's clear that there was behind that some kind of a very bizarre, dark purpose
right.
that was not in any way in keeping with the ultimate mission of the military, which is to protect the people of the United States.
Right.
And there are many, many people within the military, officers within the military, and enlisted people too,
right.
who take that, they take an oath
right.
to protect this country and the people.
Right.
And they take that oath very, very seriously.
Right.
And what has happened is that because there was this very dark control over the military for this period,
mm-hmm.
They follow. I mean, the orders for what they do does not originate within the military. It originates within government agencies and,
okay.
and at levels of government.
Sure.
And there has been a tremendous amount of interference and control of the governmental systems by the cabal.
Mm-hmm.
However,
sure.
with the shift that's happened after 9/11 and the removal of that top level,
right.
there has been an ensuing, over the last 10-15 years, been an ensuing struggle over for control of the CIA, the military, the government, everything, and the financial system, and that struggle has been ongoing, and there are many, many evidences of that, and I can talk about that for hours.
Sure.
That it's real. There really has been, and what's happening now is that the light forces are gaining control. And
wonderful.
What I was told when I asked very specifically about the situation on Libby Island and mm-hmm. that whole thing,
mm-hmm.
what they said was that it's been a process of gaining full control over the military
mm-hmm.
and that the old forces had to be taken out and removed,
sure.
which is now completed.
Wonderful.
And that was completed in January of this year. So why wasn't, then I said, well, why wasn't this plan stopped at that time
right.
when that control shifted?
Mm-hmm.
And they said there was still some minor local resistance that had to be dealt with, and that has now been overcome completely. And then they said, well, the court decision that came in July was actually a way to implement what they wanted to do, and in other words, it lined up with the events and the way things look, so that they were able to implement that and do it. It was the outer justification for stopping the program.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, of course, all of these kind of activities that have been instituted by the military have created a tremendous distrust of the military in ordinary people or anyone who's awake.
Right.
And they said, yes, it has. And it's very important for people to understand that the military, like so many other parts of our society, have been under the control of the cabal, but
sure.
it is no longer.
Well,
and the only way people are going to really accept that is through experience, through seeing that things are changing
sure.
within the military system,
sure.
within all the systems. And that's a process that's underway.
Well, you have a very unique perspective on things, Gordon, and I'm so happy to have you on today again, because there have been citizen groups out there fighting the Navy. There's a group of citizens called Citizens to Protect Eby's Landing, and they sued the Navy recently saying, hey, you've done no environmental studies. It's not right for you guys to fly jets at 150 decibels to explode our eardrums. Gee whiz, we think that maybe you should fly somewhere else and not terrorize us.
Yeah,
you know, but I wanted to give those groups support today. And let
mm-hmm.
me check with my sound engineer. Are they on the line? Wonderful. Okay, we've got, Gordon, if you don't mind, I've got two friends to join us. The first gentleman's name, David Spring. He's with the Washington Environmental Council and one of the main people in educating the public as to the Navy's plans. David, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing, Ted?
Oh, good. Good. And then we'll be getting on a gentleman named Ken Pickard. He's also involved with the Citizens Group on EB's Lending. We've got him on the line from British Columbia. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi there. And Gordon, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, good. I'm having a wonderful guest on. This is Gordon Asher Davidson calling in from San Francisco. He's written a wonderful book called The Transfiguration of Our World, How the Light Alliance is Helping Us Turn Things Around on This Planet. And the reason I wanted to have you, David, and Ken on today is because I wanted to give two things. I wanted to raise public awareness of your wonderful work in educating the public as to the Navy's plans. And also, too, I wanted to support you and let you know that you will win. And we all will win to make this planet a better place in your efforts to curtail the Navy. David, go ahead. I'd love to have a couple words, then followed by Ken.
Well, we have a website. There's actually a couple websites, but the website where I did my research, I was an environmental researcher for about 20 years, and we have a website called Washington Environmental Protection Coalition.org. And on that, we've listed all kinds of research about these things called growler jets. This is a new type of jet by the Navy. The Navy has proposed to essentially take over Olympic National Park, the entire Olympic National Olympic Peninsula, and turn it into an electronic warfare range in conjunction with another warfare range they're doing off the Pacific Coast. And they're asking the Forest Service to grant them a permit. And the permit would allow them to fly about 9 planes at a time, once an hour, for 11 times a day, for 260 days out of the year. So thousands of planes, tens of thousands of planes flying over the Olympics, emitting radiation that is hundreds of times greater than cell tower radiation, essentially kind of irradiating the whole thing. But maybe the biggest problem is the noise level. About 20 or 30 years ago, I was involved with a group that sued the Forest Service over the destruction of spotted owls in the Pacific Northwest. And the Forest Service agreed in 1994 that they would stop harming and killing off all the owls. And they set up protected areas for spotted owls to recover. And one of the most important areas in the United States, it's called a cluster, was in Olympic National Park. This is the chief means for protecting spotted owls in future years, because Olympic National Park was one of the quietest places in the world.
Really?
And spotted owls have tremendous hearing, and how they catch their prey is through their hearing. Their hearing is something like thousands of times greater than human hearing. So you can imagine if humans are blasted away at something that approaches 100, 150 decibels, from all these thousands of planes flying over. Imagine what this will do to the spotted owls. It essentially will destroy them. And we think this is a violation of the Endangered Species Act, in addition to I estimated the total cost for this project to be about $1 trillion. Each one of these planes is capable of turning off all the electromagnetic devices in an entire city. And the intention of these planes is not defense. Their intention is to attack places like China and Russia. And once these planes fly over them, they simply turn off all the electromagnetic devices, allowing the U.S. to win the war in about 1 minute. And so these are the most incredibly horrific devices that have ever been created. And the idea that a World Heritage site like the Olympic Peninsula is going to be turned into a massive noise and electromagnetic radiation zone is something that we're doing everything in our power to stop. So we appreciate you letting your listeners know, and I hope that your listeners will go to our website, Washington Environmental Protection Coalition.org, and learn more about all the horrific problems created by these jets.
Well, David, I thank you so much. I want you to stay on for the rest of the hour as well. Ken, I'm sure you have some words to say. I'd love your comments.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me on your program.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
There have been years of litigation surrounding irreparable harm that the military does to marine mammals, for example, animals, our situation and our case that we have pending against the Navy in federal court has to do with irreparable harm to citizens, to people. And we think that this is a case of first impression in the country. The issue being, can the military, particularly in this case the Navy, irreparably injure citizens in order to conduct its training? And that's essentially what our issue is that's currently pending in federal court in the Western District of Washington. Our group is called Citizens of EB's Reserve for a Healthy, Safe, and Peaceful Environment. We're a group of citizens on Central Whidbey Island that live in a national historical reserve that many of us and generations of us have worked for decades to create. And the Navy uses it to train aircraft for field carrier, for landing practices on aircraft carriers. Hmm. And so we have an obsolete, substandard, unsafe, small World War II emergency landing strip abutting our national park there. And the Navy uses it, and they, as David mentioned, they just switched the planes at Naval Air Station Whidbey Island. That is becoming the world center for all EA-18G Growlers, which are essentially F-18s turned into electromagnetic warfare planes.
Oh, my God.
And the other branches of services are not, they're relying on the Navy, apparently, to do all of this electromagnetic warfare. And so far, all of those planes are scheduled to be based at Naval Air Station Whidbey Island, which is on the north end of Whidbey Island.
Well, you know what? Through your efforts and my radio show and everyone raising their consciousness and your hard work, they're never going to land there and they're never going to fly out of that base because we're not going to be allowed to be terrorized by our own government.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
If you visit our website, it's Citizens of EB's Reserve. That's EBEYS, citizensofebsreserve.com. Go to the links and files, and you can see all of the affidavits and medical expert reports that we've submitted to federal court that prove beyond any argument that severe injury is being inflicted on people and about to be inflicted on all the people that live on and use the Olympic Peninsula.
Sure. One thing I want to tell you is that, to be fair, I did invite the Navy on today. They declined. I also asked the Forest Service to come on to give a few words. They declined. The Navy did send me some of their information on the environmental impact statement. They said there are no effects.
Yeah.
And so there's nothing to worry about. But, Gordon, I'd love your response to David and Ken.
Right. Well, first of all, I really want to also deeply appreciate the work that all of you have been doing for all these years to fight against and, you know, stop this insane ideas that they have been putting forward. And I know that that's a very important part of the process, that by actually having public, more and more public information is being brought out, the lawsuits that are highlighting these issues, and all the work that you've been doing. I totally respect it. I think it's fabulous. And you guys are real profound heroes in my book. And everyone, you know, you deserve the admiration and respect of everyone for what you've been doing under very difficult conditions with not much support, I'm sure, in the initial stages. So I just want to say thank you for that. And what I'm getting, and all of my input is based on what I receive in deep, deep inner meditation, and I've had a pretty good track record of being reasonably accurate in what I'm getting, is that, you know, the tide has turned, and that the bizarre and inhuman planning that has been going on inside the military, and this is an example of, and there's plenty more other things as well, is no longer being supported within the military itself. And that it, because the military has moved out of that kind of dark control into really coming back to its original purpose, which is to be a protector of the people. And I do really understand that people like yourselves who have been fighting against this insanity for so long might find that very difficult to believe. And the only way it's really ever going to become real for you and others is to see that it's actually, there is a change. And that is what I am saying is, and what I'm receiving is, that there is going to be a change. There's going to be a change in the policies and the attitudes. The whole thing is going to be turned around in a completely different direction. And I mean, when you look at the nature of the plans, you know, killing millions of dolphins and whales and harming people with sound and electronics and all the rest of it, I mean, it's like something that no one in their right mind would really even consider doing.
Right.
So you have to really look at, well, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. It can't be coming from human beings who have any fellow feeling for other humans.
No.
Or the animal life of the planet.
Right.
It's coming from people who are, you know, had only one goal, which is to terrorize the population, gain more control, prove that they have power over everyone, and nobody can do anything about it. That was really the game, that is to exert power in such a way that people would basically give up and feel totally helpless. And you all have done tremendous work to prevent that attitude from occurring. You've organized tremendous numbers of people to come out against this, and that work has been heroic and absolutely necessary. So but my sense is now we are in the beginning of a whole new era where this whole thing is going to shift, and that's what I'm getting a very strong sense of, and you can see other indicators of it in other areas, as I mentioned before about the admirals and generals who are in charge of our nuclear missiles, and that's all been shifted over to other people now. And there are many, many other big changes in the officer corps in the military that indicate that something huge is happening inside the military itself. And that is very, very positive, and, you know, gives us some real encouragement that there is going to be significant change in their policies and attitudes.
Gordon, Ken, and David, and my many listeners around the world, I'm a psychic, and I've been in touch with Professor Albert Einstein, and as well as President John F. Kennedy and some other very interesting and famous spirits, and they have just come in now, and they're clapping for you. They really are. Professor Einstein's clapping, as is President Kennedy. And Nostradamus is telling me now that the timeline has changed, and you are in fact correct, Gordon, that the light forces have gained the upper hand, and things were different about we were headed on for a terrible course, he said, up until about 5 years ago when the Galactic Alliance actually stepped in. This was after 9/11. Because if they hadn't stepped in, I'm getting the message now from Ambassador Trellian of the Galactic Alliance that he just came in. And this entire studio just lit up again. It's getting very white light in here. I always know when they're here because this place gets very white. Anyway, he said that that the timeline has changed, that we are headed for a very bright future. I know that they're saying now that they know that it's sometimes agonizingly slow, but you're all on the right track. Don't give up. Then good things will be happening in the future very shortly.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Oh, I'm glad to hear something optimistic.
So.
but I am optimistic about our lawsuit, and I think Judge Zille will do the right thing. We're just waiting for his ruling, and we mm-hmm. moved for an injunction to stop the flights in the EB's reserve. So.
Well, I just got a note from my sound engineer that we had trouble getting you earlier, Gordon, because of the Skype connection was bad. But Ken, with all due respect, we have to drop one of you off in order to get our next guest on. Is that okay, Ken?
If I could, you betcha. Yep.
Okay, my friend, you can listen to the show later at www.outofthisworld1150.com, or you can listen on live now at www.1150kknw.com. And I'm so sorry, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. All right.
Bye.
I'd like to get for all of us to send good wishes and lots of light to Judge Zille in Seattle. He's now deciding the federal case that the Citizens for EB's Landing has brought against the Navy, and to ask him the right to rule in the highest and best interest for the citizens of Whidbey Island. Now let's see. I want to make sure everyone's still on board. Gordon, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can
okay.
you hear me?
Oh, great, great. And David, are you there?
You bet. I sure am.
Okay, great. The next person we'll be bringing on in just a minute is Zach Smith. He's the lead attorney for the Natural Resources Defense Council based in Santa Monica, California. Zach's been active in the – he's the main litigator and attorney for the NRDC and bringing trying to stop the Navy from murdering up to 5 million whales and dolphins. I wanted to have him on today because he has a lot of interesting things to say, and I'm sure, Gordon, that you'll have some things to say in response as well. Zach, are you there?
Hello, Zach, are you there?
Yes, hi, I'm here.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Zach.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm so glad you're here. With me, I just want to introduce you, Zach, to my other friends on the air today. The first gentleman is named Gordon Asher Davidson. He's calling in from San Francisco. He's written a wonderful book called The Transfiguration of Our World, How the Light Forces Are Helping to Transform This Planet in a Very Positive and Wonderful, Beautiful Way. And the second gentleman, you may know him, is a David...
David Spring.
Thank you. thank you, David. I lost my garbage. Anyway, David Spring, who's with the Washington Environmental Council, and he's been working very hard in trying to curtail the Navy's efforts to have an electronic warfare range up here. But before we begin, Zach, could you tell my listeners a little bit about your involvement in the NRDC's efforts to protect the whales and dolphins?
Yeah, sure. It's quite a long story, but I'll keep it to the shorter version,
sorry.
Which is... The Natural Resources Defense Council, more than 20 years ago, became concerned about the impact of ocean noise, and specifically some of the Navy's activities and the impacts that could be having on marine mammals. And those concerns were blossomed, so to speak, after a particular stranding event in the Bahamas in the year 2000, in which several whales were killed as the result of the Navy's use of sonar during training activities. And since that time, we've had several lawsuits, we've spoken to the Navy, we've negotiated with them, and we've generally urged and have received through the courts, through court order, and through settlement, greater protections from whales from the Navy's activities. And that process continues, and it continues to this day in the Pacific Northwest.
That's fantastic. Is there a way people can help you out, financially support your efforts?
Yeah, of course. I mean, NRDC.org is a great place to go. We are a nonprofit. We don't take money from the government. We don't take money from corporations because we're often suing both. So,
mm-hmm. Sure.
So we do depend upon the generosity of our members, foundations, and major donors.
Wonderful. I had Patricia Corey on my show a little more than a year ago. She's a New York Times bestselling author. And she said that at the time that she was in telepathic contact with the whales and dolphins, and they complained to her to please have stop our U.S. Navy from bombarding them with sonar, which is driving them nuts, killing them, and forcing them to beach themselves on the beaches.
Yeah, well, I've never been in telepathic contact with mm-hmm. whales, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
but I have looked at the science, and I have reviewed even the Navy's own estimates of the harm that their activities can cause, from outright death if you are a whale that's unfortunate enough to be close to an explosion that takes place in the water, which happened in San Diego a few years ago, to the use of sonar, which over time, depending even at what we would consider maybe not as immediately harmful, but the kind of sonar that causes animals to abandon habitat and stop foraging activities has long-term consequences energetically for reproduction, and we have seen evidence of some populations declining over time, and it could be because of sonar is just a constant stressor on some of these populations that they're not thriving as they should be.
I see. One of the things that I've heard from the Galactic Alliance, and I wanted, Gordon, I'd love your opinion on this, is that the dark forces on this planet wanted the U.S. Navy to kill off 5 million dolphins and whales to actually to lower the vibration of the planet, because it is undergoing a change, and the cabal thought that, well, if we could eliminate all these dolphins and whales, then the vibration would be lower, which would help their negative interests. What do you think, Gordon?
Yes, I am sure that would be the case, and that's also part of the strategy behind the chemtrails, because the same applies. They were using that to try to make people sick and therefore decrease the frequency of the planet. But, of course, the Galactics have intervened and prevented those neutralized all the substances in those chemtrails so that it's no longer a huge issue. And that has been their basic strategy, fear anything that will lower the frequency. Mm-hmm. So it makes total sense to me that that was part of the idea, because certainly the whales and dolphins bring a beautiful higher frequency energy to our planet. Anyone who has spent any time with them right. knows that without any question. And that makes total sense. And that just gives you a sense of from our human point of view, the kind of insanity of the kind of attitudes and plans that they've had. And this is a very small fraction of things that they've tried to do on this planet. And I could go on for hours about it, which I won't do. But this is the type of thing that they do, have tried to do. But as you said, about 2005 onwards, in that period, from then on, their activities have been almost very heavily blocked by the Galactics. And many, many of the plans they had have been stopped by the Galactic forces. I could talk about those for hours, but there are a lot of them that have been stopped. So, we are getting real help that's actually practical.
Well, that's such good news, Gordon. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know that in September, on September 4th, 2014, people are welcome to listen to this interview on my website. I had Scott Stevens on and another environmental scientist named Teresa Enger from Pennsylvania on. And I had taken air, water, and fish samples of the area around Moses Lake, Washington, where the U.S. Navy, once again, here's the U.S. Navy again, they were bombarding that area with chemtrails every 2 days. At that time, I don't know what it's like now, but at that time, the aluminum rates of the air and the air, in particular the air, was 10,000 times more than it should be for background. Barium and strontium was 8,000 to 9,000 times. The fish, every kg of fish had 100 milligrams of, between 80 to 100 milligrams of aluminum, barium, and strontium actually in the fish. There was also tests done of sulfur in the air and in the water. They were spraying sulfur over. They were spraying sulfur last summer in eastern Washington when the temperatures were already between 100 to 125 Fahrenheit. And when you spray a ton of sulfur into the air, guess what? It goes hotter. And from what I've heard, that actually was a reptilian plan to make the planet much hotter, because if you've ever noticed snakes and lizards out in the desert, they love it when it gets hot.
That's right.
And so one of the plans of the Cabal and the Cabal-controlled U.S. Navy was to make this planet far more friendly to the reptilians and less friendly to humans, and as well as poisoning half of us off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I moved from eastern Washington about a year ago, glad to be gone. I don't know what it's like over there now. I call my friends, and they say that they still see the planes. But I think all of these things are temporary, that the longevity of these plans, I think, will be gone soon.
Right.
So.
And many of them have actually been abandoned and are being abandoned, mm-hmm. to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because their power is decreasing. Mm-hmm. And I know, certainly in my own observations of the chemtrail frequency, we used to have massive amounts of chemtrails here where I live in Marin County in near San Francisco, and they're almost completely gone now. We don't have hardly any.
That is just wonderful news.
And other people have told me as well. And there are some areas, like I've had reports from people in Utah, where they're still getting a lot of chemtrails.
Wow.
So but the overall degree of that is definitely dropping, and that's because their financial resources are being stretched to the limit, because their access to this ability to print infinite amounts of money by going to a computer and transferring mm-hmm. a few billion to somebody's mm-hmm. account mm-hmm. has been severely compromised. They can't do that any longer, so they're under financial stress, and that is causing them to have to curtail these kinds of activities because they don't have the money to support it.
Well, Gordon, thank you so much for your comments. Zach and David, I each want to give you 30, 45 seconds. We've got a few minutes left. Then, Gordon, I want to give you the last bit there to respond. So go ahead, David.
Well, I just wanted to ask Zach, I wanted to let him know, now the Navy claims that these growler jets won't have any negative impact on the Olympic Peninsula. They're turning it into an electric magnetic war zone to go with the electric magnetic war zone out in the Pacific Ocean. And on our website, I just wanted to encourage Zach to go to our website, WashingtonEnvironmentalProtectionCoalition.org. And on there, I have specific studies done by the Navy itself that contradicted their claim that there was no effect. Essentially, the Navy lied to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about the impact of growler jets and about the noise level of growler jets. And I'm hoping that Zach and the National Resource Defense Council would help us file a lawsuit to prohibit the Navy from using the Olympic Peninsula as a war zone. We believe the issues are the same, that this is going to destroy spotted owls, which are a protected species under the Endangered Species Act. And we believe that the briefs that they've already filed could be used just with a slight change of wording. And so I'm hoping that Zach would be interested in going to our website, taking a look at it, and seeing if they'd be interested in helping us stop these thousands and thousands of growler jets that are going to be attacking the Olympic Peninsula if the Forest Service grants them a permit.
Well, and David, may I say something quick, Zach, before you respond? I'd be happy to help. Let's set a modest goal, maybe a small amount of money. Let's try to raise maybe $1 million to pay for an environmental defense fund to help with that effort.
Thank you. So, Zach, what do you think? Would you think you guys would be interested in taking on one more important project?
Yeah, and well, there are so many important projects, it is hard to dive into them all. I think everyone's kind of aware of some of the challenges that we face on the planet from the environmental degradation that's occurring. There are signs of hope in different areas, and there are places where we have the resources, and really it's a manpower issue of where we can extend our reach. I would be happy to take a look at your website. Myself, I focus on marine mammal protection, but we do have people at NRDC who do wildlife, wildlands, and wild places, and this is potentially right up their alley, so I would be happy to direct some of my colleagues. We certainly have people who have been working on forests for a long time and obviously have been strong proponents of the Endangered Species Act, so I think this is something that people here, even within our organization, have been slowly talking about. And maybe it's time for people to give it a closer look, and I would be happy to try to encourage that process.
If with your permission, Zach, I'd be happy to give David your contact information off air after the program.
Yes, of course. That would be fine.
All right. Wonderful. We've got about a minute left. Please stay tuned. We'll be having Dr. Richard Allen Miller, which is one of the world's famous scientists. We'll be having also a special prayer ceremony for the children of Fukushima and the Moto Peace Project. But, Gordon, we've got about a minute left. I'd love your last comments.
Well, I think this is a very important issue. It's another example of how the power of the cabal is being reduced and steadily waning, and that the light is getting stronger and stronger on our planet. And if people would like to know more about my perspective and the work I'm doing, you can go to my website, worldtransfiguration.com, and I'm going to be starting a regular service called the Galactic News Service in September, where I will give monthly updates on the latest input that I'm receiving about what is happening on this planet from that galactic and the very practical human perspective, and show how this whole process is unfolding in a very positive and beautiful way that's going to create a home for all life on this planet that is truly beautiful, supportive, and loving.
Thank you so much for those beautiful words of wisdom, Gordon and David. And Zach, thank you so much for coming on today. Please stay tuned, my dear listeners, for the next hour in just a few minutes.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.